Good morning. It's Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, the U.S. military is on the move as Israel and Lebanon exchange more fire. An energy billionaire goes after Greenpeace in a major lawsuit. And looking for answers as to why so many Americans have peanut allergies. But first, to North Carolina, one of seven states expected to decide the presidential election. So far in the polls, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are virtually tied. But Republicans are now contending with a major scandal. CNN found details linking North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, to offensive comments on a porn website dating back over a decade. We mentioned this really quick on yesterday's show. Robinson is now running for governor in the state. In the posts reviewed by CNN, he calls himself a, quote, black Nazi. He makes other disturbing racist comments and in some cases contradicts his publicly stated positions on abortion and policies that impact transgender people. He has denied posting the comments, but his campaign is reckoning with the fallout. Danielle Battaglia is the Washington correspondent for two local papers, the News and Observer and the Charlotte Observer. She told us how, as of yesterday, Robinson's campaign staff largely quit.
I believe all he has left is a communications team, and I think that's only a couple people left, so there's not a lot of people left to go.
Robinson says he plans to stay in the race, and even if he did drop out, ballots have already gone out to some voters with his name on them. We asked Battaglia how voters are reacting to the scandal, and she says he has a long history of incendiary comments about the civil rights movement, school shootings, and the Holocaust, and she doesn't expect his base to abandon him.
I think where it's going to hurt him is with those undecided voters who still haven't made up their mind on whether they should vote for his opponent, Attorney General Josh Stein, who's also running for governor.
Even before CNN's reporting, Robinson was widely expected to lose to Stein. He's often polled double digits behind the Democratic candidate. So Battaglia says right now, Republicans are more concerned about any possible ripple effect.
I think there is a concern it could impact the presidential election. I think what they're more concerned about is the down ballot races and how that's going to affect the Republicans running. What they are concerned about is those people who tied themselves to Mark Robinson who are down ballot and what they do going forward in the next couple weeks.
Both the Trump and Harris campaigns believe North Carolina is crucial to their path to the White House. The Harris campaign has been eager to remind voters of the link between the former president and Robinson. Trump endorsed Robinson in March, and he's repeatedly compared him to Martin Luther King Jr. The former president did not appear with Robinson when he campaigned in North Carolina over the weekend, and Trump hasn't addressed the controversy yet, but he's expected back in the state tomorrow, and Battaglia thinks the pressure will be unavoidable.
I feel like he can only be silent for so long. However, it might make sense in a news cycle to let this die down until the next thing pops off, and then you can start distancing yourself. So I don't know where this is going to go, but they're definitely not speaking about it yet.
Let's turn to the Middle East, where Israel and Hezbollah have launched new strikes overnight. This follows heavy airstrikes by Israel on Lebanon yesterday. Health authorities say yesterday was the deadliest day of conflict in Lebanon since Israel and Hezbollah went to war in 2006. With more than 500 people killed, including around 36 children, it may be the single deadliest day in the country since the civil war that raged from 1975 to 1990. And health authorities say over 1,600 people were injured. The health minister said strikes hit hospitals, medical centers, and ambulances. And the government ordered schools, universities, and nurseries closed across much of the country. The Israeli military says it hit hundreds of Hezbollah targets. It sent audio and text messages to people yesterday, warning them to move away from buildings Israel claimed were housing Hezbollah weapons. The military blamed some of the casualties yesterday on weapons in those buildings exploding during strikes, so-called secondary explosions. Hezbollah didn't immediately address Israel's claims about hiding weapons in civilian homes. Thousands of people fled in panic after receiving the warnings from Israel, packing the roadways headed north. Reporters with Britain's Channel 4 spoke to one family from their van as they were stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
There was bombing. We got into the car and we just drove, he says. We don't know what happened behind us. We're heading to Beirut.
The BBC spoke to another family.
Ahmed says everyone fled his village because of airstrikes and destruction. There's no one left, he says. We took our belongings and went.
In response to the escalating tensions, the Pentagon announced yesterday that a small number of additional forces will be sent to the Middle East as a precaution. There are roughly 40,000 U.S. troops in the region already. Now to a lawsuit that could transform the environmental movement. A fossil fuel billionaire from Texas is suing Greenpeace USA in a court battle that could bankrupt it.
Kelsey Warren shows no qualms in his willingness to go after Greenpeace. I think his intent is very much to crush Greenpeace.
That's Wall Street Journal energy reporter Benoit Morin. He told us the origins of Warren's dispute with Greenpeace. It dates back to 2016 and protests over one of his marquee projects, the Dakota Access Pipeline. Greenpeace, indigenous tribal groups, and thousands of activists camped out in North Dakota to protest the pipeline project. Some of the demonstrations turned violent. In one clash, law enforcement used tear gas and sprayed demonstrators with water in below-freezing temperatures. When former President Trump took office in 2017, he ultimately cleared the way for the project to move forward. Kelsey Warren and his wife have donated over $20 million to Trump's campaigns since 2016. And today, Warren is suing Greenpeace for hundreds of millions of dollars in damage related to the Dakota Access Project. He says Greenpeace funded attacks that damaged property and spread misinformation. Greenpeace says its role in the protests was limited and it never took part in any violence.
Greenpeace is denying all of those claims and saying that it had but a handful of people on the ground, mostly doing de-escalation trainings for the protesters that were overwhelmingly led by indigenous tribes concerned about the impact of the pipeline on their land and on water.
Warren's company, Energy Transfer, is seeking $300 million in damages. Greenpeace has said that would likely wipe out their U.S. operations.
Greenpeace describes this lawsuit as existential to its U.S. affiliate. It is saying that the demise of its U.S. affiliate could impact its ability to fight climate change globally. So that's a pretty big deal for Greenpeace, and the folks there are definitely very concerned and spending a lot of time on this lawsuit.
The case is set for trial in February in a North Dakota state court. Both sides are expecting a jury that's friendly to the energy industry. Before we let you go, a few other stories being featured in the Apple News app. We're in the middle of a busy and dangerous hurricane season. Helene looks to be on a path to slam into Florida as a powerful Category 3 storm this week. Record high temperatures in the Gulf mean it can rapidly intensify. It comes on the heels of Hurricane John, a Category 3 that hit Mexico last night, packing winds of 120 miles per hour. Let's do a little climate pivot here and talk about a new finding that looks at Americans' perceptions of electric vehicles. The data says electric vehicles are, in fact, better for the environment than gas-powered vehicles. But there's been a 5% point drop in Americans who believe that. Most Americans still see EVs as better. As the researcher explains to NPR, it looks like the drop is because people with doubts about EVs are getting more skeptical over time. And that skepticism might explain why EV sales growth in the U.S. has slowed. And finally, there's an interesting essay in the Wall Street Journal about peanut allergies. If you're old enough, you might remember a time when they seemed fairly rare. But these days, it seems like everyone and their kid has one. A surgeon and public health researcher at Johns Hopkins argues peanut allergies rose sharply starting in 2000, and recommendations from pediatricians are part of the reason why. It was a time when there was a lot of attention on real cases of peanut allergy deaths. The American Academy of Pediatrics issued a recommendation saying children up to 3 years old should avoid peanuts altogether. This piece argues this lack of exposure to peanuts in America actually made allergies more common. And now that we're dealing with the consequences, the AAP is changing its advice and saying early introduction can be helpful. You can read the full argument on the Apple News app, along with all the stories we talked about today. And if you're already listening in the News app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Bloomberg Businessweek has a surprising look at how AI is posing an existential threat to the online poker market. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.